Our next guest, I love. I DVR her show every single day. She could be the nicest person on television. She is the longest serving female anchor on national television. She is celebrating 25 years of Inside Edition, which can be seen weekdays at 3 o'clock on ABC7. It is Deborah Norville. Congratulations on 25 years.
Thank you, Pete. I am blown away by it and so grateful. And people in Chicago are one of the reasons I get to still be on Inside Edition, because everybody tunes into Channel 7 at 3 o'clock and have been since even before I got to Inside Edition. So I just wanted to say thank you, because I'm walking in gratitude.
Take me back to when you left Chicago. Was it 1986?
It was December of 86, and Mayor Washington had declared it Deborah Norville Week, which was like, I thought it was a joke somebody was pulling on me, and then Mayor Washington actually signed a proclamation, which was insane. I still have that on my wall at my house, and I am so proud of it. And yeah, that was a long time ago when I left Chicago and went to NBC to the Today Show, where I was, you know, for a few years before I went to CBS and then Inside Edition. But yeah, I left, and I felt so guilty, can I tell you? Because December is when we're all starting to hunker down, right, and get ready for God knows what's going to be, you know, happening over the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I literally felt like I was disloyal to Chicago by leaving before winter really kicked in. I really felt bad about that.
Well, how does a girl start out from Georgia, where you were born, and then move to Chicago?
Yep.
When did you get to Chicago? What year was that?
Oh, gosh. I came in January of 82.
Okay.
And that was the coldest winter on record. And then more recently, there was an even colder one. My first weekend, it was so cold, it was 15 below with a wind chill of minus 21, which I thought was pretty darn cold.
That's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, because next weekend, it was a temperature of 26 below zero, and the wind chill was minus 81. And I want you all who are listening to feel really sorry and really appreciate all those reporters and all those camera guys and the engineers who go out and cover stuff in the dead of winter. It is so cold, you cannot use a ballpoint pen.
Right.
You have to write your notes down with a pencil because the pen doesn't work.
So you remember that when you were standing out with the wind blowing both ways here in Chicago?
Yes. And I would take my ugly hat off for the stand-up, because it's an ugly hat and you don't want people to see that on TV. And I would. My great Aunt Esther lived down in Olympia Fields in Harvey.
Okay.
And I would get phone calls from Aunt Esther and from all of her 75-plus-year-old friends who would say, Debbie, put your hat on. You're going to die. So I would get all these lectures from the ladies. It was really, really sweet.
Oh, gosh, that's wonderful. I forgot about Mayor Washington. I remember you told us that once. It's interesting that it wasn't Deborah Norville Day. He gave you an entire week.
Which is why I thought it was a complete joke. There's no way I would get a week. Maybe I'd get like a minute or a, you know, commemorative cup or something.
Right.
But no, it was for real. And it was just, I was so touched. It just meant the world to me. And he was very kind to do that.
When you left so you leave Chicago, you're on the Today Show for how many years?
I was at NBC, I guess, for a total of 4 years. I started off on the super early show called NBC News at Sunrise,
right,
which came on at like 6 in the morning, and then they moved me up to Today, and then that didn't go so well, so I ended up leaving the network and did radio for a time, and I can't remember if I was on I was on WGN, I think, overnight, so I did like a late night thing.
I remember that.
Talk radio,
yep.
And it was great, because talk radio, I mean, you know this, Pete, you do it so well. The great thing about radio is you are engaging people's minds. With TV, we can kind of lull you with pictures, but with radio, you paint the picture with your words, and you set the scene with your words. And if you do it well, as you do, you get to keep doing it, and you become a really valued companion to the people that listen to you. So I loved getting to do radio. Remember, I was doing my radio show from home. I just had a baby, and I was kind of beaten up from the whole Today Show thing. And I said,
right,
I don't really think I can do this from a studio. They said, no worries. Technology is amazing. We can set it up. You can do it in your house. Like, wow, this is incredible. And so all these amazing people would come. And one of the things, I mean, people like Barbara Walters came to my apartment to do a radio show. Let's face it, Barbara Walters didn't go to people's houses for anything. But she came to my house and she said, well, actually, the reason I really wanted to come was I wanted to see your baby.
Oh, my God. Part of
the, it was amazing. So Barbara Walters came over, and it was, you know, my baby was asleep by then, but she tiptoes into the nursery with me, and we have the lights on dimly so she can see him. And, you know, Barbara Walters, you know, is still with us, but she's not on the air anymore. But she was like one of the primo.
The biggest.
If anybody important was going to be interviewed, this lady would do it.
Right. That's one, one of the biggest.
And she got all softy and mushy, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. And it was a moment. And then we got to talk about it on the radio.
I love radio because it's so personal, and we can have people like you and talk about your days here in Chicago and how NBC blundered that whole Today Show thing. I know you don't want to talk about it, but my question to you is, you and I follow the power of positive thinking. You always have to spin it somehow because people are going to beat you down, and if you go down that rabbit hole, you're going to be depressed. But here you are. You know, you made the pinnacle of the Today Show, and then they screw this whole thing up with the Jane Pauley leaving and you coming in, and then you hit rock bottom. How do you stay positive after that?
Yeah, but then I came back, and that's the story. The story is getting back on track. Everybody falls into a pothole. You know, some of us fall more deeply than others. In fact, let's say we have a room with 100 people, and we're having this conversation. Statistically speaking, Pete, 10 of the people in that room are depressed. Mm-hmm. And I'll often cite that statistic when I'm doing, you know, like a luncheon speech or something, and they're usually those round tables that have 10 people a piece at them. And I'll say, one of each, you know, at every table, statistically, there's one person here who is really depressed, and it was really hard for you to put your clothes on and get out the door and put on your lipstick and show up and act like you're enjoying yourself because we know you're acting, mm-hmm. but you're doing a great job of it. And I cannot tell you how many people I have come up to me and said, I was that one. I was that person at my table. So here's the deal. We all go through it. 10% of us are going through it right now.
Yep.
And so what I try to share is some of the strategies that helped me get back on track. And it's really, some of it is laughably easy, but it's super important. And I love you for asking me this because somebody needs to hear this right this exact moment.
Right.
And one of the things that I did, and everything in books I've written about this, they're all peer-reviewed research behind it, so I'm not, like, selling you snake oil. There's actual research behind it. But one of the things I did was I literally took a tiny piece of paper and wrote down, and somebody said, oh, make it a bright-colored piece of paper because then you don't have to actually look at it. You just see that color. And what it reminds you is what's written on that paper. And what is on that tiny piece of paper are moments in my life when I was happy, moments in my life when I achieved. Mm-hmm. We all have them.
Yep.
Some of us have to go way back in time to find those moments, but those moments exist. You write those moments down because then when you're having that blue period and we go through it, you can look at that piece of paper and go, oh, wow, I remember when I was chosen for X, or I remember when I got that promotion at work, or I remember how I felt when I jogged 2 miles for the very first time. Whatever your accomplishment is, it's what makes you feel good.
Right.
Somebody else will look at it and go, well, that's stupid. Doesn't matter. It's not their list. It's your list. So start with things like that, because what that does is that reminds you is that you had positive moments in your past, and there's no reason to think that you won't have positive moments in the future. And gratitude is another important part of that. I have a little stupid-looking book that I'll bullet point things, 3 things every day that are good. It's dumb looking. It's dirty. It's ugly. It's beat mm-hmm. up. It's battered. But that's my book, and that's where my stuff goes. And when I need a boost, and we all do, the book kind of falls open to where I need it. It's almost like a karma thing. And I'll be reminded of, like, a big one in my most recent list is on Thursday, Inside Edition. aired a little retrospective of my time on the show. And it was moments I'd forgotten about with producers that we had had such fun working on these stories. And at the end of it, they had all these famous people, including Judge Judy.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Judy.
I saw that.
Judge Judy knows who I am. I think that's the coolest thing in the world. And she said something nice to me, and I'm like, wow. So that's on my list. And everybody has somebody that's got somebody saying nice stuff about them.
I love that episode, and we're going to talk about that in a second because I'm going to make you hold on for 2 minutes while we do commercials here because I want to do another
segment. We love commercials.
Yes, we do. They pay the bills. But one more thing, talking about radio being so personable, you need to do some type of segment on radio because you come over the airwaves as so personal, and it's like you're talking to me personally, especially with that book because I do that. I try to write things down. Yes, definitely.
Good for
so.
You.
So
yeah, and it makes a big difference.
You should think about that. And by the way, we kicked off today's show with Dr. Oz, and you talk about how you loved radio so much. I met Dr. Oz over the years, and I sent him a text this week, and I said, hey, you're talking about the coronavirus on your show. Would you come on and kick off the Sunday show? And he said, absolutely. And he was in one of your segments, Dr. Oz, congratulating you on 25
years. He was. Yes, yes. He's been a good friend, both personally and professionally, for a long time. And when I saw his face pop up on the screen, I was just tickled.
Well, let me take a quick break, and we'll talk more with Deborah Norville in a second, celebrating 25 years Inside Edition. You can see it weekdays at 3 o'clock on ABC 7. On the phone with us is Deborah Norville, who hosts Inside Edition weekdays at 3 o'clock on ABC 7. You are the longest-serving female anchor on national television. You got to love that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm excited. You know what? It sort of goes back to what we were talking about before the break, when the NBC thing blew up on me. And it's so funny. There was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, I just remember this, who literally said of me at that time that I had been left for, speaking of my career, left for dead on the side of the road. That is a verbatim quote from one of the media critics of the most respected paper in Chicago, right? The Chicago Tribune. And I'm like, wow, he was sort of right. But here's the thing. You can accept someone else's definition of who you are or where you stand or what your potential is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go with that. Or you can say, wow, things are really bad. Let's see if we can turn it around. And I wouldn't be the longest running anchor on daily television if I had allowed that individual's assessment of my career at that moment in time, which was probably 100% accurate, but I chose not to accept that. I chose to say, you know what, darn it, I will leave this business, but it's going to be on my terms. And so the fact that that little label is on me now is not a, hey, pat me on the back thing. It's a, folks, this is what resilience and determination can get you.
Right.
Nobody says it's going to be easy. I said to my kids so many times, money is not fair. I just stopped and like, you know, guys, I was fully present when all three of you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And not one person in the labor room looked at you and said, from here on out, kids, it's all fair. We get promised a lot in America. Fair is not one of them. If we are blessed to be born in this country, blessed to live in this country, we have so many more advantages. But one of those advantages is not that it will always be fair.
It's interesting. I thought we'd talk about your 25 years at Inside Edition, but I love the fact that we're talking about the power of positive thinking. You know how many times I've been left for dead here in Chicago media? But the thing is, in you and I, it's probably because we're so used to it. People love to beat you down, but you have to pull yourself up. For people that are listening right now, how do they take that first step? Because they've been beat down, or they lost a job, or they're going through a divorce, and they're so down on themselves. How do they pull themselves up and take that first step?
Yeah. Well, that was actually the topic of my very first book called Back on Track. And the subtitle is sort of the gist of it. How to straighten out your life when it throws you a curve. And so how do you do that? I think what I said a moment ago about recognizing you've had positive moments in the past, and by sort of definition, unless you've just massively turned into a different human being, you will have positive moments to come. You have to believe that. You have to know that. You have to sort of take stock of what those were. But the first thing is to take a step. Take a forward step. For me, when I left the Today Show, I truly spiraled down. I did not get dressed. I did not many days take a shower. And there was the turning point for me was I literally slept for 12 hours after my husband did not know what to do with me, and I was nursing a baby. And when I woke up the next day, I was, you know, missed a bunch of feedings. I was massively, you know, in pain just from not having nursed the baby and all that good stuff. And I took a shower. And when I took the shower and I got out of the bath and I dried myself off, I said, today I'm going to get dressed. All I resolved to do was get dressed.
Wow.
Not to even put on makeup, not to get back on TV, certainly not to leave the house. I just want to get dressed and kind of function like that. So whatever your rock bottom moment that you're at, and hopefully it was not as rock bottom as mine, but wherever you are, ask yourself, what is that next step up? If I'm in the basement level here, where is that first step that will get me up to ground floor?
Mm-hmm.
Don't even aspire for ground floor. Just aspire for that first step. You know, kind of in your mind, hopefully you see a little staircase. And what is it that you have to do to get yourself from basement level up to that first step and be firmly on that first step? That's all you're aiming for. And once you figure out what that is, get good at getting on that first step. This is a process. You probably didn't end up where you are overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a process. It's going to be a process to get back. But believe in the process. Believe that each step is forward motion in the direction you want your life to go. And with college-age kids and students at Inside Edition who are interns, I find myself often having a conversation with kids who are trying to figure out what they want to do in life. And what I don't tell them is, you're going to be having this conversation with yourself for the rest of your life. We'll let them figure that out later.
Mm-hmm.
But the process is kind of the same. And one of the questions I ask the kids is, who's got the job that you think you want? And sometimes they know who that is, and sometimes they don't, but they maybe know what the position is. Okay, fine, let's look at what's necessary to be qualified for that position. So ask yourself, where is it you want to be in life? How is it you want to live, whatever the nature of your issue is? And if you can come up with a vision, that makes it a lot easier to come up with the roadmap to get there. There's a wonderful, wonderful Bible verse. It's Habakkuk 2:2, and it says, write the vision, and it will be revealed to you. And a lot of us have to-do lists. I like get-to-do lists, and that's kind of what a gratitude list is. But if you can define where it is you want to be, how it is you want to live, whatever that question is that you're trying to answer, if you can have a general idea of what the goal is, that makes reaching that goal a lot easier, because then you can just kind of work backwards and figure out, okay, to get there, I got to do this, but to do that, I need to do this beforehand,
right.
And before that, I need to do, you know, X and Y. It requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of thought.
Right.
But hey, it's a Sunday afternoon, and if you're listening to this radio show, you might be at work, but chances are you've got the day off. And if this is resonating with you, maybe this afternoon is the day you want to start.
Everything happens for a reason. I love that you gave a Bible verse. I have another one for you. Be anxious for nothing. We're all so anxious. You just got to take a step back. And I had notes in front of me while you were speaking. I tell people, if you've hit rock bottom, and by the way, I used to have a studio apartment in rock bottom. I've been there. I completely understand it. And you've been there. You get it.
Write
things down. Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? Because you're right. You need the visual in your own head, and get out of the house. Shower, get out of the house. Just for a few minutes. People need to get out of the house and
go to nature.
Right.
Go to a park. I mean, the great thing about living in the Chicago area, there's so many beautiful spaces, whether you go out in the prairies, whether you go into Lincoln Park, whether you walk along the lakefront. There's so many places where if you can put yourself with nature, you will, and open your eyes, allow yourself to see the beauty of the tree in front of you, or the waves crashing on the beach, or the ice formations that have happened from the sea spray. Wherever it is that you are, there is something beautiful outside that you can see.
Right. Yep. And I call it keep your radar up. If you want if you need a job, keep your radar up and start looking for that job, because you're going to get messages. And maybe this is a message for someone that's listening right now to help them. And I love the fact that you came on here. I had no idea we'd go down this road, but I love helping people and talking about the power of positive thinking. That's why I love having you on the show, Deborah. You're the best. You really are.
Thank you, Pete. Well, I'm blessed to have gotten to do Inside Edition for all these years, and grateful that people tune in. And, you know, if somebody's listening and they're feeling like, man, my life is not going well, guess what, baby? I'm in that club, and, you know, you're a lifetime member.
Yep.
It's a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Everybody who has stumbled and then picked themselves back up, we are members of a special club, and we support one another.
Right, definitely so. And before you go, people need to check this out online. I love that the last 25 years of Inside Edition, they showed your hairdos.
It's like the Chicago weather, right? 5 minutes it changes.
I love that they showed all the hairdos over the last 25 years. Deborah, congratulations. You're the best, and we'll have you back very, very soon.
I thank you, Pete, for your time. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Deborah Norville, everybody. News is coming up right after top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's 720 WGN.